Good morning, everyone. This morning, I'm going to talk about looking for novel resistant genes to Fusarium wilt RIS3 from wild tomato species Solanum pinellii. Tomato is one of the most important crops in the world, and the U.S. is the second largest tomato producer in the world. And the tomatoes we bought from the supermarket are cultivated tomatoes, and it's named Solanum lycopersicum. And for those of you who are not familiar with wild tomato species, they have a different shapes and fruit size, color, and may have weird taste. So it may not have as much as marketable value as cultivated tomato, but it's an important source for breeder to look for disease resistance. And cultivated tomatoes are very susceptible to plant disease. So you can see there are so many pathogens from fungus, bacteria, and virus can cause plant disease in tomato and can reduce total yield loss and also marketable value. So today I'm going to talk about one fungal disease, Fusarium wilt, and it is a worldwide issue in most tomato production area, especially when the environment has warm temperatures. And there are three different risks were identified. And there are several disease management strategy has been used to control this disease. However, the most effective way is to breed tomato cultivars containing resistance to control Fusarium wilt. So, so far there are three specific resistant gene has been identified, and they're named I in stands for immunity, and I gene control RIS1, and I2 used to control RIS2, and I3 is used to control RIS3. So some of you may ask, since we already have the gene and to control RIS1, 2, and 3, and why we bother, why we're still going to looking for novel resistant gene to RIS3? Well, because these genes are RIS specific. So whenever there's new RIS emerged, or when the current RIS mutate, then this current gene will lose their function, their control effect. And another reason why we want to continue and looking for a novel resistant gene to RIS3 is because the current I3 gene has been identified to associate with several negative traits, and this is really bad in breeding. So the first negative trait is that I3 is associated with a smaller fruit size. So Dr. J. Scott reported that the hybrid lines containing homozygous I3 alleles had a significantly smaller fruit size than the same background, the same hybrids containing heterozygous I3 alleles. So this is a really bad trait because industry and growers prefer larger fruit. And the second negative trait was identified to associate with bacterial spot sensitivity, which means the plants containing I3 allele will have more bacterial spot infection. And some of you may know bacterial spot is one of the serious bacterial disease in tomatoes. So there's a study came out last year by Hutton et al. So what they find is the recombinant lines containing I3 alleles will have significantly more bacterial spot infection than the recombinant lines not containing I3 allele. And they also find the recombinant lines containing heterozygous I3 allele had an intermediate bacterial spot infection, indicating this association is a dosive effect on the susceptibility. So there are two assumptions to explain the association, the reason cause the association. So the first reason it may cause by linkage drag, that the negative locus or loci are closely linked with I3 genes. So the solution will be screening a lot of plants looking for recombinations within the I3 locus that possibly break the linkage drag. And another reason may be caused by the I3 gene itself in terms of pleiotropy. This way we have to looking for novel resistant genes that are free of these negative traits. And for the first part, for the linkage drag, part of my research has been focused on that part, and we screened a lot of plants and looking for recombinations, and we had a really good progress, and I won't talk about today. But today I'm going to talk about novel resistant genes. That's the purpose of today's talk. And the reason why we chose wild tomato species Solanum pinellii is because over 25 years ago, and Dr. J. Scott had a report, and they determined that this species had a promising, has a good effect, a resistant effect to multiple fungal diseases, including fusarium. So the objectives in my study is to evaluate all Solanum pinellae accessions for resistance to RIS 1, 2, and 3, and further genetic analysis the resistance to RIS 3 in all accessions for looking for potential novel resistant genes. So in the material methods, we have 42 Solanum pinellae accessions, and we at the same season, we also cross each accession with one of the susceptible tomato cultivars, Suncoast. And the following season, we also backcross each F1 family with the same susceptible parent, Suncoast, for developing F1-BC1 family for the genetic analysis. We also choose different control lines for each RIS evaluation. So pretty simple, and we sow the seeds in the coast in the growth room, and the inoculation was initiated 7 to 9 days after sowing. And the inoculum RIS 1, 2, and 3 was adjusted to 10 to the 7 spores per milliliter for inoculation. For the inoculation, the seedlings from each accession were inoculated by root dipping into the inoculum and then transplanted to 128 well transplant trays. So basically what we did is we evaluate all accessions on the resistance to RIS 1, 2, and 3 because we want to know whether these accessions could confer a comprehensive resistance to multiple RISs. And then following, we want to conduct a genetic analysis to look for novel resistant genes from each accession. And we evaluate F1 families and F1-BC1 families for the resistance to RIS 3. In the phenotypic evaluation, so after 3 weeks, and we conduct the phenotypic evaluation, and the plants are alive, and no vascular browning were considered healthy plants, and the dead plants or the plants containing vascular browning were considered susceptible or unhealthy. And here's a picture shows you what it looks like when the plant looks healthy, but when you conduct a stem or root cutting, you can see the infection. And for determining whether the resistance from each accession conferred by the current I3 gene, so we want to know whether the phenotype is co-segregated with the current I3 resistance. For determining that, and we developed a group of markers from the I3 region, I3 alleles, which from the accession LA716, that's where the I3 locus come from. So we developed a group of markers, but however, due to the genetic variations, not every markers can be used to tell or determine the polymorphism between other accessions and the same susceptible cultivar tomato. And we have to screen all the accessions to looking for the marker that we can use for the genetic analysis. And we end up 3 markers that are effective and can be used to differentiate and accessions between accession and the susceptible background. And here's the gel picture shows you that this is one F1-BC1 family, and we use a marker to see the polymorphism. So some of you, if you know genetics, you may know when you backcross F1 with the same susceptible parents, you will have 1-to-1 ratio and 2 kind of genotype, either heterozygous or homozygous for the susceptible type allele. So, and then we conduct a chi-square test to see whether I3 played an important role in terms of resistance in the specific accession. So within each F1-BC1 family, and we have a susceptible parents, so resistant plants and susceptible plants, and we can calculate a ratio for the specific F1-BC1 family. And then we use chi-square to test whether the plant's genotype containing heterozygous alleles, I3 alleles, had a significantly more healthy plants than expected. If so, we consider this accession contain the same current I3 gene. But if not, if that's the same number as expected, then we consider it's not contain the novel, the current I3 gene. And then we conduct another chi-square for another genotype plants, which is the plants containing only containing homozygous alternative alleles. And if we find the in that group, if this resistant plants and susceptible plants ratio fit 1-to-1 ratio, then we consider there is one novel resistant alleles in that accession. If the ratio fits 3-to-1 ratio, we consider there are two non-allelic resistant alleles in that accession. So here's the results part. We find all most accessions lines conferred a resistance to Fusarium RIS1. However, there are several lines contain less than 30% healthy rate, but still they have a pretty good control effect compared with the control lines binding best, which is 0% survival rate. We also find all these accession lines are resistant to Fusarium RIS2, only except one accession, so susceptible. And we also find all accessions confer resistance to RIS3, which is really promising, and we're glad to see that, and has a really good effect, control effect. And from the RIS1, 2, 3 evaluation, we can see that most accessions conferred comprehensive resistance to multiple rhesus of Fusarium wilt rhesus. And then we conduct the genetic analysis. We conduct the evaluation on the resistance to for F1 families. And we find most F1 families conferred resistance to RIS3. Only four F1 families confer relatively less healthy rate and slightly better than the control lines. And this tells us that the resistant effect from most accessions conferred a dominant resistant effect, and which is really important for tomato breeding program, especially for hybrid production. And then in the genetic analysis for F1BC1 family, as I mentioned, there are two different genotypes. One is a heterozygous I3 allele, and the other one is homozygous alternative I3 alleles. And we conduct a chi-square for determining whether the current I3 genes exist in specific accession. So in the column highlighted pink, if it said yes, then which means the accessions contain a current I3 gene. And we also find numerous accessions contain one alternative novel resistant gene, which is different than current I3. And several accessions contain both I3 gene and also one alternative gene. And there are four accessions contain two different novel resistant loci, which are different than current I3 gene. So this is really interesting and promising because breeders can look for a novel resistant genes from the accessions that contain novel resistant genes can have a really important application significance in the future in terms of get rid of removing the negative association. So in the summary, we find most solanum pollinia accessions are resistant to multiple rhesus of Fusarium rhesus 1, 2, and 3. And the resistant to Fusarium wilt rhesus 3 are a dominant effect, which is important for tomato production. And numerous accessions likely contain alternative rhesus 3 resistant alleles can be used in the future. And our study is not finished. So our future work will continue to validate the resistant effect from the novel resistant alleles. So in the current season, we select the resistant F1BC1 plants, which doesn't contain I3 allele, and we collect the pollen and backcross to the susceptible cultivar background again, and to further test the resistant effect in the future and also the segregation ratio. So here I want to thank my funding from University of Florida, PMBI, and also USDA Germ Plus Evaluation Funding, and all my committee members and the people working in tomato breeding lab at the GCREC, University of Florida. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer. Thank you.